It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. I'm Peter Apathy, and this is Raven News. The Sitka Assembly on Tuesday night authorized the city to spend up to $250,000 to develop a new solid waste management plan. As KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz reports, the vote marks the start of a total re-examination of how Sitka deals with its trash.
The city plans to hire the firm CB&I, or Chicago Bridge and Iron, to draw up the comprehensive waste management plan. City Administrator Mark Gorman spoke for many in the room when he said he initially had sticker shock at the cost. $250,000 is a lot, he said.
We've received some comments from the public saying $250,000, what is this buying us?
What it's buying is a top-to-bottom assessment of how Sitka handles its waste now, what it could do differently in the future, and how much it all might cost. The study will cover everything from trash and recycling to composting and bear problems. The city last created a waste management plan in the 1990s, Gorman said, and it's about time it was updated.
The price seems high, but not doing it, I think the price will be considerably higher.
Public Works Director Michael Harmon is heading up the effort. He said one of the big issues the plan will address is whether to ramp up the city's recycling program. Right now, residents can drop off household recycling at the Sitka Recycle Center, but Harmon said that other communities across Southeast are trying a different approach.
Southeast in particular, Juneau and Petersburg, there's a big focus, even Ketchikan, looking at upping their recycle program and moving to curbside recycling, where you get it collected at your home site.
Gorman said that Sitka currently has a fairly low rate of recycling.
And if you make access easier, for example, curbside recycling, you can drive that way up.
But the plan will address much more than just recycling. Everything from how much waste Sitka can expect to generate in the future and how much it will cost just to maintain existing services to what would be required to add new services, like composting. Harmon said that CB&I was chosen in part because they've worked with other Alaskan cities, including Kodiak and Juneau, and understand some of the challenges that Sitka faces as a remote island community. Sitka currently ships its garbage by barge and rail to the Roosevelt Landfill in eastern Washington. Recycling is also shipped to Washington State. A team from CB&I will be in Sitka the week of March 11th to kick off the effort. They will meet with the Assembly and city staff and hold several public meetings to hear from community members. Harmon said he hopes for a final plan to be ready this fall. The city's current contracts for garbage collection and off-island disposal expire in 2015, and Harmon said that would be a good time to make any changes if the city does decide to transform the way it takes out the trash. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholtz.
In other business, the Assembly postponed a decision on whether or not to contribute funding to the RIDE, Sitka's bus system. The RIDE had requested up to $25,000 to avoid service cuts this summer. The request will be included in budget discussions coming up later this spring. The Assembly did, however, approve an economic development loan of $350,000 to the Baranoff Island Brewing Company. And the Assembly approved an emergency grant of $7,500 to the Sitka Community Development Corporation, a local nonprofit which focuses on affordable housing and is run by Sitka Mayor Mim McConnell. We'll have more from the Assembly meeting this evening at 5:19 p.m. right here on Raven Radio. Sitkans may hear an unexpected knock on their doors this February, if they haven't already. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game will survey 200 randomly selected households to find out what was harvested in Sitka last year. KCAW's Emily Foreman has the story.
David Holen, a program manager with ADF&G's Division of Subsistence, may show up at your door with questions like,
was your household's harvesting use less, the same, or more than in recent years? And if it was less or more, tell us why. And it could be that, you know, populations or stocks of fish, for example, are down, or people weren't able to access those resources. So it just gives us an idea of what has changed over the last few years and what might be impacting people's ability to meet their harvesting goals.
The survey is part of a project aimed at filling information gaps on harvesting throughout the state.
That includes all wild resources, whether they harvested it through under sport fish regulations or subsistence regulations or hunting. It's all wild resources that come into the household.
Holland says that at the last Board of Fisheries meeting, the department realized that Sitka hadn't been surveyed since 1996.
Here in Sitka, there's also declines in shellfish that we identified at the last Board of Fisheries meeting. And there are several of those issues that led us to the decision to spend what, you know, small funds that we have.
So if your address made the list, here's what you can expect. For starters, the survey is completely voluntary, anonymous, and confidential. Depending on your level of harvesting activity, it can take 15 minutes to an hour. A trained surveyor will ask for basic demographic information, as well as how you hunt, gather, and fish. They want to know about techniques, the tools you use, and where you go. Holland says there is also an economic section.
And this is really an important section for us because, you know, it takes money to go out and access resources. You have to have a boat or a motor. And also, sometimes jobs can interfere.
The survey is also designed to reflect cultural practices.
And subsistence is basically a lifestyle that involves the harvest of wild resources and then also the sharing of those wild resources with your family, your neighbors. And so that's something that we definitely identify in rural communities, that people are bringing resources into their household, whether they harvest them themselves or they're given to them. And so those are some of the more cultural considerations that we look at, is that level of sharing.
As for the 10-year rural reauthorization cycle, Holland says that's determined by the federal government, and he represents the state. The information he gathers could be used in that process, but that's not the purpose of this survey. For Holland, it's about painting a complete picture of harvesting across the state and identifying trends. For instance, in many rural Alaskan communities, 70% of a community harvest comes from 30% of households. It's up to the Board of Fisheries and Game to then decide what to do with that information. The crew will be in town until February 24th, or until they determine that the survey is complete. In Sitka, I'm Emily Foreman.
Governor Sean Parnell's candid comments last week about the potential repercussions of Ketchikan's lawsuit against the state has drawn some response. Ketchikan's lawsuit challenges the state over what the borough says is an unfair mandate requiring boroughs and first-class cities to fund a minimum level for local schools. Many communities outside of organized boroughs don't have to make that contribution. Senator Bert Stedman listened to the interview with Ketchikan's public radio station KRBD last Friday and said he believes it's the right of every citizen to petition the government.
You know, as a young state, there are areas of our constitution that need to be fleshed out a little more through the courts.
Stedman added that he didn't believe there will be any backlash against Ketchikan in the legislature. He notes that a House bill submitted by North Pole Representative Tammy Wilson would do what the Ketchikan lawsuit is asking for, and he doesn't believe North Pole will be discriminated against either.
Well, those are sentiments that we all realize happen in the legislature, and we don't usually verbalize them out loud, but I did comment to the borough assembly that was a concern I had. I don't have any idea if it will happen or not, but at the end of the session, a lot of bills get held hostage.
That was Representative Peggy Wilson of Wrangell. She also listened to the governor's interview and says that while she hasn't seen evidence yet of repercussions from the lawsuit, she shares Parnell's concern. Wilson says you never know what reason another legislator might have to stop a measure from passing. Borough Manager Dan Bockhorst responded that the Ketchikan Gateway Borough Assembly considered options for more than 6 years and lobbied for a legislative solution before deciding to move forward with its lawsuit.
There have been multiple meetings between borough officials and, for example, the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, as well as other officials of the Parnell administration and others. We ultimately came to a point where there was no resolution, and so the assembly carefully and deliberately decided to pursue litigation.
Assemblymember Agnes Moran, speaking for herself and not for the assembly, says it would be unfortunate if there were repercussions. She says the lawsuit is the borough's legal right, and Ketchikan isn't the first municipality to sue the state. Moran noted that the point of the lawsuit is not to avoid paying for schools, it's to find a solution that's fair to everyone. She says she was surprised to hear Parnell's comments.
You know, they're pretty harsh comments, you know, truthfully. And I think they came off harder than he intended. And I think, you know, there will be a common ground at some point.
Moran notes that if the community wasn't obligated to pay a certain amount for local schools, Ketchikan wouldn't need as much help with capital projects. And a report shows that Alaska students lag behind the national average when it comes to scoring well on advanced placement courses. The report Tuesday from the College Board shows nearly 15% of Alaska seniors scored a 3 or higher last year on the advanced placement exams, which is a way to earn college credit. Most colleges or universities require a score of at least 3 before awarding credit. The national average was about 20%. The report notes few American Indian or Alaska Native students participate in advanced placement exams, and in 2013, just over 1 million U.S. students participated in the advanced placement program with the goal of developing college-level knowledge and skills. That's all for Raven News for this hour. You can listen to or read Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. And to read comments on our stories on Facebook, just click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required.
Alaska Pacific Bank is proud to support public radio, helping Southeast families and businesses with deposit and investment accounts, online banking, and cash management services. More information at alaskapacificbank.com. Member FDIC.
This is Morning Edition on Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. Take a quick look at the Sitka forecast. It's currently 20 degrees under overcast skies. In the forecast today, increasing clouds with a slight chance of snow in the morning. Snow likely in the afternoon. Snow accumulation 1 to 2 inches with highs around 28 degrees. North winds 5 miles per hour, increasing to southeast 10 to 20 miles per hour. You are listening to KCAW, Raven Radio in Sitka. The time is 8:01. Thank you so much for joining me. And now back to Morning Edition.